It happens all the time, and tonight just shows how sports entertainment will always be ignorant and obtrusive. It's one big show that means very, very little in the real world that most people live in, because there are actually things that matter going on within it, like figuring out a life that means more to you than a damn ball going into a hoop, or learning how to grow up being in a fishbowl of a society based on your popularity level as a person, or even dealing with becoming the leader of your family after someone's passing and not knowing how to deal with life after it happens. But this game of sports entertainment matters more than someone's mental health and well-being, right? All the real-life things that happen to people every day, but they still have to perform for the NBA and its fans, right? It's all about doing it for the fans, an organization that love you so much. Think again, it's a game and it's promoted as a fandom experience for ticket buyers and viewers at home while defacing who people truly are as people, then spat out all over these media networks as valuable food for thought, while they actually believe that their opinions hold weight to real cultural leaders that speak and act for change. One big gimmick with some smoke and mirrors. I'll always be the one that takes the stand and speaks on the truth every time, though. A purposeful and spiritually led life will always be bigger and more meaningful than any sports arena or any entertainment space. This game isn't meant to be controlled or shown as a drama. It's meant to show the love. Love for the art is the only damn thing that keeps the purest people in this giant sports entertainment circus. Don't fall for the game that's played in front of you as entertainment. It'll never be as serious dealing with life.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today, an absolute monster day in the NBA. 14 games on, Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Indeed. So what we're going to do today's show is break down all 14 of these games. No preview, of course, because tomorrow is Thanksgiving and or today is Thanksgiving, depending on when you're listening. So you won't be no games on. Simple as that. But I will have a show that comes out before those games, previewing the 13 games for Friday. Just won't be included in today's show. So we're talking all about the action from Wednesday, all of those games. Let's get into them right now. The first one of those games up for us to look at is the Orlando Magic taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. They beat them 116-104 on the road. Mo Bamba.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Looking better. 15 points, 23 minutes, 5 triples. That obviously helps. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks. The blocks are going to come. This shooting, he was 5 of 5 from deep, is not going to stick. And if that doesn't happen, then it is a little bit of a rough line. But I'm more encouraged by the consistency of the blocks and the fact that the minutes are pushing up. So that means, yeah, if him and Ken Birch are playing equal minutes, Bamba is clearly the guy that you would want to have. Birch is more of a 14-team league guy. If you want to take a flyer on a guy while Vucevic is out, then Bamba could be that player. But again, there's a lot of flukiness here. Evan Fournier, 30 points, 39 minutes. That is massive. 4 triples, 2 steals. I talked about him on the Sell High podcast I did earlier today. Another indication that you should be looking to sell high. Usage through the roof, great efficiency. It's not going to stick as we go forward. Well, Markelle Fultz, 28 minutes, 15, 3, and 4. Shot the ball pretty well, 58%. Yeah, solid enough. Must be a 12-team league guy. But DJ Augustin, they played together quite a bit. 30 minutes for Deej, 8 points, 10 assists, and 3 steals. I would not be having Augustin in a 12-team league over Fultz, but that's a nice line. Johnny Isaac, limited minutes, weirdly. 28 minutes, 16 and 7, but still 3 steals, a block, shot poorly, but high usage. That is all very encouraging. Nothing to really panic about. While Terry Ross had 16 in his 23 minutes, while Wesa Wundu continues to start for God knows what reason. 8 points in 24 minutes for Wundu. For the Cavs, the Padawan, Colin Sexton, he contributed 20 points in 32 minutes, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. That's about 2 weeks' worth of action for Sexton there, so count yourself lucky. No defensive numbers, but shot the ball well. If this is what he can do moving forward, it'll be great. It'll be fantastic, because those numbers are really, really strong. But we have to have skepticism that he's going to be able to do that, because he has never been able to do that so far. Kevin Love was back, so that relegated Larry Nance to the bench, but Love played just 24 minutes, 9-5 with two triples, allowing Nance to play more. 11-10, two steals in 25 minutes. Now, if Love still isn't right with his issues, backs and knees and all those sort of things, Nance is a must-roster player. So you might as well have a look, see if he's there, see if it makes sense, see if you've got a droppable guy and see what Nance can do. But yeah, this double-double in 25 minutes is not the norm. If Love plays 32, 33 minutes, then it's going to really impact Nance, but this was encouraging nonetheless. Tristan Thompson had 13 and 15. I still think that at some point he will be limited to a degree and we will get Nance taking those minutes. And that's another reason why looking at Larry as an ad is something to look at. But yeah, another strong game from here. Must roster player there. While Darius Garland had 16 with very little else. Chetty Osman also 14 with not a great deal more in 32 minutes for Osman. Jordy Clarkson had been really good the last couple and he was probably the opposite of that. 8 points in 16 minutes on some poor shooting for Jordo. Next game for us to take a look at is the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics get the win 121-110. No Kyrie, of course, no DeAndre Jordan, no Caris LeVert for Brooklyn. So Joe Harris played 27 minutes. He had 21 points with five triples. That's great from Harris. The two blocks, the 62%, all of that is great. I wouldn't say that his numbers have been fantastic with those injuries there. He's fine to have on a 12-team roster now. I don't think he'll stick there when the season gets older. While Garrett Temple, a big night. I think he had 11 points in the first couple of minutes. Ended up with 22 overall, 6 triples, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. He has these games, and then next game it'll be a 2-2-2, almost a Richie Beno.
2-for-2-2-2.
But the bad Richie, 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, even in the same minutes. Dinwiddie shot horribly, 16 points on 19 shots, but 11 assists. He still remains a sell-high player, while the artist, formerly known as Torian Prince, turned in a shit one. 12 points with 4 triples and not much else there. Jarrett Allen murdered your free throws. He was a pretty paltry 5 of 12 from the line. That's 42%. But 17 and 14, really strong. Let's hope they don't limit him when DeAndre Jordan comes back because he's clearly that guy who should be playing these minutes. Deeper leagues, Theo Pinson dished out 8 assists. That's really, really useful. So pay attention there as long as Irving is sidelined. For the Celtics, Kemba Walker, what a return from his neck injury. Only 31 minutes, but he scored 39 points on 24 shots, had 6 rebounds and 4 assists. Before his injury, he was starting to drop off a little bit. So this is an encouraging sign to see that usage spike back up, to see all the shots go in. I'm not sure that he's going to stick at 37% usage. Actually, let's rephrase. I am 100% sure he won't stick at 37% usage, but this was great. Well, Jaylen Brown, 22 and 10 and 3 steals. Back to early season Jaylen, not the Jaylen that we saw over the last couple of weeks. Vanilla Tice looks to have established himself as the starting center. 27 minutes, 14 and 8 with 2 blocks. That 27 minutes is the key number there. He's getting 24 or 25 every night. That doesn't make him a 12-teamer because he's not that prolific, but he could be. He's more of a 14-team league guy. Jayce Tatum, not a good night. 16, 9, and 5 on 29% shooting, while Marcus Smart also struggled. 10, 4, and 5, of course. They are both still 12-team league blokes. Enes Kanter played only 14 minutes, and he only scored 4 points. Weirdly, he had 4 steals and 3 assists. Definitely not things that we expect from Kanter. But if he's not going to get this any playing time, really, with Tice around, then, of course, he's not a 12-teamer. While The Rock DJ, only 6 minutes for Robbie Williams. Grant Williams only played the 7 as well, while Tremont Waters, who starred yesterday, did not get into the game, which is always the worry with those two-way guys, despite Brad Stevens' effusive praise post-game. Next game up for us to look at, we've got the Utah Jazz and the Indiana Pacers. A real blowout win here for the Pacers, 121-102. It was relatively close until the end, and then the Pacers ran away with it down the stretch. Bojan Bogdanovic, 30 points in 38 minutes, 4 triples, great stuff. Low usage, massive, actually not that low usage, low field goal attempts is what I meant to say, but 10 of 11 from the line, 62 from the field, a lot of minutes. There are a lot of sell-high indicators in that sort of a line from Bogdanovic. Bojan Bogdanovic, of course, that is. So that is that's a great line, but I do think, it is a bit of a sell-high. Well, Jingling Joe, 4 steals really helps him, 12 points in 28 minutes. The shot, he was never going to be that bad in terms of his shooting. It has bounced back these last couple of games. I still don't see him as a must-roster guy. He's not a 33-minute guy anymore. He's 26 to 28 sort of minutes, and that takes away a lot of his usefulness. 26 points for the Donovan Mitchell, while Rudy Gobert returned from his ankle injury to drop in 14 and 13 with a steal and a block. And with Gobert back, Tone Bradley moved back to the bench and back almost out of the rotation. Just the 5 minutes for Bradley as Jeff Green was getting some of those backup center minutes. We even got Mia Onne and Juwan Morgan actually playing, and they are NBA players, and they played in this game. 16 minutes to George Niang, 5 points there. He was getting some of those minutes as well in place of Tone Bradley. But I almost forgot, Mike Conley, he was dreadful. 5 points, 25% shooting, 6 rebounds and 5 assists. His inability to hit a shot is one of the most baffling things from this entire season. The assists are almost back to Memphis-level assists. He just can't hit anything, and I don't know when it's going to get better. I'm not dropping him, but shit, it's real rough at the moment, and I just don't know what's taking so long for a shot to go in at even a below average level. It's really, really annoying to watch this happen. For the Indiana Pacers, Jeremy Lamb, 32 minutes, 18 and 8, 6 assists, great ad on the wire, available in 23% of leagues. Who knows if it lasts when Oladipo returns, but just grab him and see. While Sabonis had 23 and 12, and Tony Warren Jr., this is as Warren aligned as you can get, 23 points, 0 rebounds. 1 assist, and then weirdly threw in 2 steals, shot 63% from the field. His game and his fantasy value is about points, it's about usage, and it's about efficiency. If those things go away when Oladipo returns, I'm not sure he's going to remain a top 100 guy. While Malcolm Brogdon, 22, 4, and 8, and Timothy John McConnell had 12 points with 3 steals. Miles Turner, yeah, it's rough, isn't it? Foul trouble limited him to 25 minutes, but the usage is pitifully low. He doesn't get rebounds when he plays next to Domantas Sabonis. Thank God he's still blocking shots. 3 blocks here. Because if they go away, man, he's maybe not even a 12-team league guy if that happens. Now, it's not going to happen, but it could. Maybe he goes back to being, instead of 3 blocks a game, 2 blocks a game. And that's a real worry when you just aren't doing anything else. He does not seem to go well in this pairing with Domantas. All right, that's it for that game. Let's move on to the next one. It is the Sacramento Kings. They took on the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers get the win in the end, 97-91. Bogdan Bogdanovic, 28 minutes, 17 points, 4 steals, 3 assists. Still dealing with a bit of that hamstring tightness, but that's a good line. While the pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. 14, 9, and 6. And much like Enes Kanter's 4 steals, any night that you can get 6 assists out of Barnes, you should count yourself pretty lucky. While these injuries are going on in Sacramento, we don't know when Bagley's returning, or Ariza, that could be soon. Barnes is at least putting up some solid 12-team league back-end numbers, while Bud Hield had 22, 6, and 4. The interesting thing here is Rashawn Holmes played only 20 minutes. He got destroyed by Embiid, 3 and 8, and then they resurrected The Undertaker. So it's time for me to do this one. Those 20 minutes for Rashawn Holmes is not a sign to drop him. If anyone drops him, please go and add him. It might be a buy-low opportunity. And this is also, conversely, not an opportunity to add Dedmon, who had 18 in 23 minutes with 6 rebounds. Now, I've said all along, trusting Luke Walton's center rotations can be tough. We had some faith in Holmes. This has shook me a little bit, but I'm still holding Holmes and still believing that he'll go back and get those minutes. Corey Joseph is providing some assists off the wire, 5 assists and 2 steals there. That's useful enough to stream him, but that's really about it. While Nemanja Bjelica, 7 points with 4 rebounds in 26 minutes. This guy has historically been wildly inconsistent with his play. Stretches of great games, stretches of shit games, and when Bagley returns, it's all going to go away. Bagley could be back within the next week, within the next week, and if you have a hot guy that you want to add,
giggity.
Off the wire, Bielitz at least should be considered a droppable player. For the Philadelphia 76ers, Joshy Richardson, 9 points in 17 minutes and then didn't play the second half with some hamstring tightness. The painter, Matisse Thybulle, a career high, 15 points. He hit 3 threes and, of course, he had 4 steals and 2 blocks. 21 minutes, didn't miss a shot. That's great. If he can play offense, then the numbers will come. The problem is that we've seen one game of that and then none of him, no others. That's it, really. So while that's encouraging, and if Richardson misses time, he becomes marginally intriguing for like 14 to 16 team leagues. This looks like a little bit of a blip, much like Joel Embiid's 0 point night last game was a blip. He had 33 and 16 with 2 blocks. I hope you took advantage of that buy low window because it's pretty closed now. Simmons had 10 and 14 with 5 assists, while Horford 12, 7 and 5. Solid nights from all of those guys, while Toby Harris was off 14 and 6 in his 33 minutes. Furkan Korkmaz is struggling in his role. Wouldn't be surprised to see Thybulle at least take some of those minutes away. 21 minutes for Korkmaz for 2 points. Not a lot happening there. Let's move on. Next game up on this massive slate of games, the Detroit Pistons pissed one away to the Charlotte Hornets, 102-101. Andre Drummond, 38 minutes, 14, 21, and 7. That is fantastic from Drummond. The free throws were poor, but him getting those assists when he plays alongside Griffin is interesting. Griffin's assists are way down this year, and that is interesting to me. Hopefully, that can come back up, but that is an interesting part of his... I should stop saying interesting. That's an interesting part of his buy low ability. 26 for Griffo in 31 minutes, 6 rebounds, 4 triples. Everything else is fine, just the assists aren't there. The Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do-do. 8 points in 23 minutes, a steal and a block. Should be rostered in more leagues. Not a 12, not a 14, but more of a 16-team league guy. While Rose had 13 and 8 in his 25 minutes, the efficiency wasn't quite there. His ceiling is obviously limited by the minutes, but he can at least be a back-end 12-teamer. The Duck, Luke Kennard, 16 points with very little else. He's getting close to a drop. He's not quite a drop, but he's getting really close with the way that things are running. While Tone Snell returned, he came off the bench. He had 0 points in 20 minutes with 3 rebounds, just like old times. With Snell returning, that meant that we didn't have to suffer through 52 minutes of Langston Galloway. He had 10 points in his 29 minutes, and his value, it should, really should, disappear real quickly. For the Hornets, Devontae Graham, man, what is going on here? 16 points, 7 rebounds, 15 assists. This bloke is not losing his role. He's establishing himself unbelievably as the best player on this Hornets team. What a really come-from-nowhere type situation. With Cody Zeller out, Bismack Biyombo started, 19-9. 2 blocks on 73% shooting. Now that is
a surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
He'd been cutting into Zeller's minutes a little bit before this, not really providing this level of value, but enough where we could at least look at him. That is an eye-opener. I don't think it means he's going to start over Zeller, but I think he'll probably be in the rotation. Paul Washington Jr., really early fouls limited him to 21 minutes. Still had 17 and 5 with 2 blocks, nothing else. Pretty empty there. I think he probably is a 12-teamer, but he's not a must-roster. And if you are, again, looking for that good free agency out there, and he's your worst player, I don't really have a problem with him being dropped. Rozier, 12, 2, and 3. True Rozier style, he couldn't hit anything, but a steal and a block is nice. While Bridges was okay, 15, 6, and 3 for Miles in his 30 minutes. Those minutes reductions only really came for Paul Washington Jr. when Borrego was talking about changing lineups up, and I think that was mainly foul trouble. So maybe, just maybe, he was talking out of his ass. The next one is an absolute smashing. The Raptors beat the Knicks 126-98. RJ Barrett returned 31 minutes, 16, 5, and 4 with 3 steals. Those 3 steals are nice. The 29 and 67 from the field and from the line is obviously horrible. He is a 12-team league guy, but you need to be, you're dealing with those percentages in some way. Randall, 19 and 8, and actually had some good shooting numbers for the first time, so that's strong. But he only played 24 minutes in this blowout. And look at this, guys. Just look at it, because Mitchie Robinson, he played, wait for it, 31 minutes.
Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
It is possible. 8 points. Yeah, that's shit. 8 rebounds. 1 block. We hope for a little bit more, but that is a massively encouraging sign. If he's on your wire, you grab him. He is still a buy-low guy with real ability, and there's going to be some shit nights in there. There's no doubt about that, but this was encouraging. Of course, Fizdale's rotation was all up shit creek. Alonzo Trier resurfaced. He played 7 Doncic-like minutes, while Damo Dotson played 12 minutes for 8 points. Now, Frankie Ntilikina only 22 minutes for 4 assists and 5 points. Hard to have him as a 12-teamer. While Dennis Smith had 2, 6, and 4. And, of course, the Alfred Payton mess is going to return at some point. Completely screwing up everything when he gets back. And Marcus Morris, 21 minutes. 7 points. This is what I think will happen to Morris when we get into the February portion of the season. He's not that good. He's shooting out of his brain. He's limiting other players with his nonsense ISO ball hoggery. And that was an interesting step from Fizdale. So credit him for limiting Morris. We'll see how far that goes. It's worth noting. For the Raptors, Siakam had 31-8 with 5 triples. The Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
Hello there indeed, a double-double, 13 and 12 with 2 steals and 3 threes. He is a 12-team league guy. While Marc Gasol, just trying to put up the weirdest lines you possibly can, he almost had a 6x3. That is weird. 3 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Chris Gayle will be happy with that. 2 steals and 3 blocks. He was 1 of 3 from the field for a 33.33333% field goal percentage. Just an astonishingly weird, weird looking line. He attempted 3 3-pointers. He was 1 of 3 from 3 as well. 3 defensive rebounds. Lots of threes across the box score for Marc Gasol. He is producing in those weird categories, much like a Patrick Beverley. But while once Once Ibaka returns, I just don't think the minutes will quite be there. The water boy, Chris Boucher, had 13 and 12 in his 25 minutes. His opportunities are going to disappear. Well, Terry Davis, really good from him. 15, 4 and 5. He's providing good deep league value while Lowry is out. Can he get minutes over Powell when Lowry is back? That's the debate. But he's at least a deep league ad for now, while Van Vliet, 15 points, and Powell only played the 21 minutes. Not the greatest night from Norm. Rondé had 12 and 4 in his 23 minutes. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, if you did not know who I was talking about. Next game for us here, we're looking at the Miami Heat and the Houston Rockets. Jim Butler, who was probable yesterday, was downgraded to out, so he did not play. Derek Jones Jr. was out, but Justice Winslow returned. Now, Winslow came off the bench and played 34 minutes. Goran Dragic, the iron shoulder, he started in place of Butler. So we're still no closer to having any idea of what this Heat rotation is going to be. Bam Bam Adebayo, fantastic. 40 minutes, 17, 11, and 8. He looks excellent. Tyler Hero played 36 off the bench. He had 22 and 8 with 2 steals. That's great. No Jimmy Butler. How do we read this? Kendrick Nunn, only 28 minutes. 9 points with 3 threes. 4 assists, a steal, and a block. I do think that Nunn is going to lose out. I'm firmly sticking to that. I think that he won't be a 12-team league guy when all is said and done. But you know, I just don't know how it's going to pan out. Dunk Robertson, 13 points in 21 minutes with 3 triples. He can be a deep league streamer there. While Winslow had 10, 7, and 3. And I'm not even sure he is going to be a 12-team league guy. I'm not even sure he's going to be a 12-team league guy when Butler returns. It's so hard to judge. I'm interested in Kelly Olynyk, 19 and 6, 2 triples. Numbers are up lately. Probably more of a 14-team league guy, but he's putting up some interesting performances. For the Rockets, Jimmy Harden, 34, 6, and 5 with 7 threes, while Westbrook, hold on to your hats as well, 27, 9, and 7 with 52% shooting and 83% from the line. It is a modern miracle, while Danny House had 23, 4, and 2, 2 steals and 4 triples, and he is still amazingly available in 56% of leagues. Please, he should not be on any 12-team waiver wires. PJ Tucker dropped in the steals, that's why you have him, not for anything else, so you're happy with that performance. While with Clint Capela out, Tyson Chandler started, he played 8 minutes, but it was the Comet, Gary Clark, who stepped up. 29 minutes for Clarkie, 12 and 8, a steal and a block. This bloke hadn't even been in the rotation at all, so he jumped ahead of Chandler and Hartenstein to get these minutes. I am not reading anything into it. It's just weird to look at and see Gary Clark playing that many minutes. At least one to watch to see where he fits in the rotation on these other games. It could be a matchup thing, though, against Adebayo that enabled him to play versus some other bigger centers. Not that Bam's not big, but you get what I mean. Next up, the Clippers and the Grizzlies. Patty Beverley. Actually, start off. No Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
6 points in 34 minutes for Beverley. 7 rebounds, 11 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 2 triples. He is a 12-team league guy who is available. Of course, the points and field goal percentage is going to be a struggle, but everything else is good. While the Beatle Paul George dropped in 22 points, Lou Williams had 24 with 13 assists, and the table Montrezl Harrell had 24 and 10. All of those guys getting a boost with the absence of Leonard in this one. So that is some pretty strong performances from those guys. Now I still do think that Lou Williams is a sell high. It hasn't been the case yet. Maybe I'm wrong on that, and really depends on what sort of sell you're looking at and what you're getting back in a trade. But I'm not super convinced he's going to be able to keep up these level of performances with Paul George and with Kawhi being healthy. Ivica Zubac played 16 minutes, while Rodney Magruder, he did hurt his hammy in this one, and Doc thinks he'll be out a while. That's going to maybe give some reprieve to Flaming Mo Harkless, who played only 12 minutes with some foul trouble. Magruder might also be able to give more minutes to Jerome Robinson if Scooter happens to be out. Jermichael Green played 30 in this one and had 2 steals, but I'm not really reading huge amounts into that one. All right. Where else are we going to go here? Let's go to the other side, because Jonas Valanciunas played 34 minutes. He had 30 and 16, 2 triples, a steal, and a block. And I, for years and years, my mantra has been, if Jonas Valanciunas plays 30 minutes a night, he'll be a top 50 bloke. Now, he just can't ever get to that number. But this is at least something to watch. Huh. I don't think it sticks, because I just don't think he's going to play this much, but of course, that's a great performance. Ja Morant also 20 and 11 with 4 steals and a block. Looks great. Well, Jay Crowder, I think we're getting into Crowder 12-team territory at the moment. 20 points, 37 minutes, and the minutes are consistent. Some of his other stuff isn't, but the minutes are. He had a steal as well. That was pretty strong. Well, Triple J, 30 minutes again for Jaren Jackson. The blocks, only one of them, and it didn't shoot well, 29%, but high usage is encouraging. 17 and 6 with 3 triples. He's starting to turn it around after that disappointing start. Wasn't a great Brandon Clark night because Valanciunas played so much. 10 and 6 in 18 minutes for Clarkie. Also, he was getting cooked, a negative 20 plus minus, so that's probably part of that reason. Well, Dylan Brooksy-Brooks taking on the Jay Crowder inconsistency role, 4 points in 26 minutes for Brooks. I don't have him as a 12-team league player. Next game up, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks. The Bucks get the win 111-102. Jabari Parker, big, big game. 37 minutes, 33, 14, and 5. Two steals and a block. Johnny Collins has got 12 games left on his suspension. I'd be trying to sell Parker during this next week. And off the back of this game, that's a great way to do it. While Young had 29, 4, and 7. Damo Jones, low-end value. If you've got like a Nivica Zubats on your roster, Jones is that similar sort of guy that we're looking at. He had 10 and 6 with a block in those 21 minutes. DeAndre Hunter was bad, 10 points on 11 shots, no defensive numbers. I'm just not sure they're ever going to come for him, and that's always going to hold back his overall value. While Cam Reddish was putrid, 6 points in his 22 minutes. And Evan Turner, yeah, solid enough with the 3 blocks, but that, of course, is a massive outlier. For the Bucks, Bledsoe, 9 points, but 10 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. While Yanni Antetokounmpo had 30 and 10, that's great. 4 assists, 4 blocks, we love that, but 5 of 13 from the line. How is this bloke so bad at this? How has it gotten to this point? Man, that it's a real struggle. Brook Lopez got in foul trouble, so he only played 24 minutes. That meant Ersan Ilyasova could play 19. 13 and 8 for Ersan with a steal and a block. That's a bit of an outlier. But the big news, of course, Chris Middleton returned from his thigh bruise. Only 20 minutes, but had 16, 3 and 3 with 2 steals. It goes without saying, if he's on your wire, you go and add him. We still don't have an idea of what's going to happen with the Matthews Hill Korver, DiVincenzo, Brown minutes because George Hill was out of this one and Middleton was limited. Dante played 28, Wes played 27, 12 and 6 for Dante, 10 points with 2 triples for Wes. I think both of them won't be 12. Matthews isn't even a 12-team league guy now. Dante is. Both of them will probably go out of that discussion once Middleton ramps back up, but we still don't know exactly because we haven't seen Hill or a full tilt Middleton going at it. Next up, the San Antonio Spurs lost their 12th game out of their last 14 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I am declaring it that the Spurs aren't going to make the playoffs. Maybe that's not that bold at this point, but they're done. 113-101 for the Wolves. Townsie, 23, 14, and 6 in his 31 minutes. And with Jake Layman out again, Kader Bates-Diop stepped up. 26 minutes, 16 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 triples. That's 3 good games in a row for Bates Diop. It looks like Layman's going to be out for a little bit of time here, and then Trevion Graham also got hurt in this one and never returned. So Bates Diop in your 16s, I think you want to have a look at him. He's available in 99% of leagues. Wiggins had 26 and 8 with 2 blocks, while Josh Okogie had 8 rebounds. The Jarrett Culver, Jeff Teague starting situation. Teague played 32 minutes.
My name is Jeff.
Didn't shoot well at all. 7 points with 6 assists, a steal, and a block. But those minutes are really interesting. That's enough for me to keep him in 12s. Whereas Culver, he's going to murder your percentages. He played only 26 minutes, had 10, 2, and 5, which is fine. Had a steal and a block, which actually is pretty good. Definitely a 14-team league guy. 12, I'm not so sure. I just worry where the upside is, and then the downside of those percentages is a real concern. I'm also concerned about Covington. Bates Diop playing well. Covington only 27 minutes, 7 and 4, a block. This isn't a minutes restriction thing because we've seen him play more than this. This is a you are not playing well thing. It is getting to be a little bit of a worry here with Covington that he hasn't taken that step forward. For the Spurs, Jakob Poeltl, 5 blocks, 8 rebounds, 22 minutes. It looks like he's going to be the starter going forward, and that obviously is encouraging for his value. The upside is really limited, but as a blocks, field goal percentage, and rebounds player, there is something there. While DeRozan's string of 50% shooting nights continued, 27 and 5 on 50%. Again, a sell high bloke, 22 and 6 for LaMarcus. Derek White and DeJounte Murray, 24 minutes for White, 23 for Murray. So realistically, they change starters and nothing really matters because they're still getting no minutes. 9 and 6 for White, 8, 6 and 1 for Murray. What to do with these guys is really tough. I probably want to give it to the start of December to see if anything shakes out. But if this is what happens, like this is not rosterable for 12 teamers for either of these guys. If they're going to just play these 24 minutes a night, it's a real, real tough one. Bryn Forbes is not good. 7 points in 22 minutes with 1 triple. And Rudy Gay stepped up 10 and 11 with 4 assists for Gay in his 27 minutes. But he's probably more of a 14-team league player. All right, let's go on to the next one now as we get through all these games. The Phoenix Suns, a bad, bad loss against the Wizards at home, 140 to 132. Brad Beal, those minutes were way back up. 40 minutes, 35 points and 6 assists, but a fantastic performance if you do have him. I still remain worried about that. The point guard spot in Washington is interesting. 26 minutes for Ish Smith, 25 minutes for Isaiah Thomas. Smith outperformed Thomas again, 21 points, 7 assists and 3 steals. This was a really hot shooting night from Smith, 73%. And even when he had the job without anyone there to take the minutes, he wasn't doing anything like this. So it's not like he's a 12-team league ad, but the fact that they are splitting those minutes with Thomas, I think puts Isaiah clearly into that drop zone. He had 12, 3 and 5, and we're all well aware he is never going to be that same guy he was before. The tank, Tom Bryant, just the 30 minutes, but 23, 9 and 5 on 82% shooting, so that's great. While Flaming Mo Wagner still chipping in, only 18 minutes, 11 and 4, 3 assists and 2 steals. Wagner's worth an ad. He's worth holding because if he does start to split the court and share minutes with Bryant, that will go up. Davis Bertans, 16 points, 4 triples, 27 minutes. And you know what I'm going to say. Do not have Rui Hachimura on your fantasy team. He played 31 minutes and had 6 points. At least he blocked 2 shots, but he is not a 12-team league guy. Jordy McRae in deeper leagues, 11 points, 3 triples, 24 minutes. With CJ Miles dealing with a wrist issue, McRae is going to have some deep league value. So just take a look to see if he's available. For the Suns, Frank Kaminsky was trash again, 16 minutes, didn't hit a shot. He was outplayed by Cheick Diallo, who had 17 and 10. And if Baines and Ayton remain out, I think Diallo is the short-term stream there. Ayton's going to be out. I don't know how long Baines is going to be out. Kaminsky was terrible. And these last couple of games, Dario Saric has been fantastic. 17 and 12, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 3 triples. Really benefiting from the fact that Kaminsky sucks balls and the fact that Ayton and Baines are sidelined. So it is a little bit of a sell high if you've got Saric. Maybe it's a stream, but I don't think it's going to last. Ali Okobo, 21 minutes, 13 points, 8 assists. That's fantastic for him. He took the minutes of McCall Bridges, who played just 12 minutes in this one. Okobo sliding into the backup point guard role. Tyler Johnson playing exclusively at the 2, which is where Bridges' minutes evaporated from. Only 19 minutes for Tyler. Okobo, 16-team leagues, you get a point guard who's playing 20 minutes a night, there's value in that, and he's looked really good. Diallo also 17 and 10, as I mentioned. Ravishing Rick Rubio returned, 18 points, 4 assists, only 25 minutes. At least he got through the game, not full minutes, but that will improve. While Oubre stunk, 18 minutes for Oubre, 4 fouls, 12 points in his revenge game. Cameron Johnson, didn't talk about him, 17 points, 3 triples, an excellent stream guy. He played over 30 minutes. That's mainly because of Oubre's foul trouble, but as a 3-point streamer, he had some defensive numbers in this as well. He's at least giving us something to be interested in. The next game up, we've got the Los Angeles Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Lakers get the win on the road in the end. They were down big, but then they came back 114-110. Tone Davis had a trip to the bench with an elbow issue, but he returned. 41 and 9 for Davis with 3 steals and a block, while LeBron had 29, 5 and 11 with 2 steals and a block. LeBron also on the bench with a knee issue early in the game, but he's obviously fine. Kuzma, red hot shooting, obviously 16 points, 4 triples, 75%, nothing else. And those shots were pretty lucky to go in just in terms of that percentage. Nothing to see there outside of a streamer. While Dwight Howard had one of his better games, but that's still just a 9-7 and a deeper league performance. Rondo scoreless, but 7 assists. Rondo is an assists guy. That is what you have him for. That is the only reason you have him for. As a streamer, he is not a must-roster 12-team league guy. I cannot stress that enough. Alex Caruso played 25 minutes and didn't do anything in that time. Played well on court, but his fantasy contributions were pretty limited. He was a team-high plus 23, weirdly enough. And then we go into Dan Green, who again is a 12-team drop. For the Pelicans, Holiday was magnificent. 29 points, 12 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 steals. While Brandon Ingram, I talk about his shooting regression, Jesus, 19% in this one. 23 and 10 because he got to the line 13 times. He, from 3-point land, he hit 2 of them. He missed 9 of them for 2 of 11. That was always going to come down, but at least he supplemented it. He got 2 blocks, he rebounded, he hit the free throw. So that's positive, but that shooting was always going to dip. Lonzo Ball was out, so JJ Redick played 35 minutes, had 18 points with 5 triples. He is a sell high if you can execute that. I'm not sure whether you'll be able to, but I think when Lonzo returns, that'll impact him. Well, Josh the Hitman Hart came back, 9 points in 25 minutes for Hart. He is not a 12-team league player. He's more of a 14-team league guy. Jackson Hayes battled foul trouble for 21 minutes. Derek Favors should be back soon. He was out for personal reasons because I think it was his mother that passed away. So I think that's going to limit Hayes, and Favors will go back into that starting role while Etwan Moore, Jahlil Okafor, Frank Jackson, they're not really doing anything to get us excited at all. Next game is the Portland Trailblazers with a real blowout win over the Thunder, 136-119. Abdul Nadir went really crazy late, 23 points in 17 minutes. He was 7 of 9 from the field, but that is a real garbage time special. While Chris Paul had 16 points, 5 assists. Steven Adams, the assists still remain nice, 3 of them here. But the 25 minutes, the lack of production overall is really infuriating. He's not a drop, but I don't really see him as a massive buy low. Gilgeous Alexander is, but he's struggling also. 11 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, no defensive numbers. I think he is a buy low. But he's also seems to be struggling a little bit in this high usage role. The usage actually has dipped a little bit lately for him as well. Schroeder had 10 points, but overall, this was just a disaster for the Thunder. For the Blazers, Damian Lillard, his shooting had been off. It bounced back 27-5-5 in 30 minutes, while Hassan Whiteside, he had a really strong performance. In fact, 21 points, 16 rebounds, but I still want to play this. The world. He hit all 5 of his free throws, which is important to note also for Whiteside, and that's great. If he can continue to hit them at a good rate, that helps him. McCollum also shooting well, 22-2-4, while Mello had 19 points on 82% shooting. Of course, that's unrealistic. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, didn't hit a 3 or have a steal or a block. He remains a 14-16 team league guy, not a 12-team league player, in my opinion, while Rocket Rodney Hood chimed in with 14 points and 4 triples. Similarly, Hood is a 14-team league guy. Anthony Simons also got some scoring done late, 14 points on 14 shots at the end of the game. Again, not something that we can really use too much there. He just isn't going to get those opportunities with this team at the moment. All right, on to the last game of the day, of course. Those embarrassing Chicago Bulls go down to the Golden State Warriors. Warriors, 104-90. Zach LaVine put up some numbers, 36 points in 36 minutes. 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, shot the ball well. A fantastic night from LaVine, who struggled last week but has been really good since then. While Tomas Satoransky, this is what he needs to play these minutes every night. I don't understand. Well, actually, I do, because Jim Boylan is quickly becoming, if not already is, the worst coach in the NBA. And I think by the time that we are back from Thanksgiving, he'll be fired. 19-7-7 for Satoransky, 3 triples and 2 steals. He should be added in all leagues at this point, because if a new coach comes in and realizes, you know what, these other blokes are garbage, Satoransky needs to play. He should be added. It was a poor start to the season, but this is encouraging. Speaking of poor starts to the season, Lauri Markkanen in 25 minutes, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. I am holding. Still, just barely, but man, he is trash. He is so not good at this point. And you have to think, because we've seen 2 seasons of him being good. Like, not great. I don't think he'll ever be great, but being good. And that's not there. It's just gone. I have to think that oblique injury is really bothering him. It's sapped his confidence. It's sapped whatever, his shooting ability. It's all gone. At some point, it will come back, but it is pretty rough. We got 9 minutes of Luke Kornet again, because Jim Boylan's the worst coach in the NBA. Wendell Carter played 31 minutes, had 8 and 9, got into some foul trouble, not his best night. While Chandler Hutchison got injured in the first 2 minutes of the game. Shaq Harrison started for him the second half, only played 6 minutes.
Big Shaq.
Archer Jackano played 13 minutes. Chris Dunn fouled out in 19. Kobe White couldn't hit a shot, 0 of 7. Just a real disaster from the coaching, from the players, from the front office. This team is a shit show of the highest order. For the Warriors, Marquese Chris again with a big night. 11-5, 4 steals and 2 blocks. The Wizard, Omari Spellman with a big night. 13-11 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. And this was with Draymond Green back. Now, Kevon Looney returning is going to have an impact on that. But for now, in 14s and 16s, these guys are putting up numbers and they're doing it pretty regularly. That's impressive. Alec Burks was shit last game, but he was strong here. 23-10 with 7 assists. He is wildly inconsistent. We know that. While Russell is out, he does have some short-term 12-team league value. While with Draymond back, the lubricant Kai Bowman moved to the bench. 28 minutes, 5-3-3 for Bowman. Probably when Russell goes, he's cooked. He'll get a 10. He probably is a drop at this point. Green only played the 22 minutes, 7-4-8 with 3 steals and a block, so that's okay. While the triangle, Eric Paschal, 25-7, not much else, but really hyper-efficient shooting. Good scoring night from Paschal, who's on the fringes of 12-team formats as we move forward. The little dog was big last game, Glenn Robinson. Not so much here, just 11 points with 2 threes. And the 2 steals are nice, but we talked about him and his inconsistency and how we know all those things do tend to go hand in hand. Let's look at some injury news now. to wrap this show up, CJ Miles has a wrist ligament injury. He's going to miss at least the next two games after today, the road trip. I think Jordan McRae will take a lot of those minutes off him. So Miles, if you have him in any sort of league, he's not going to be playing at this point. Joshy Richardson left today's game with a hamstring injury, a hamstring tightness, they called it. Matisse Thybulle stepped up into his absence and really played well. But Richardson, hopefully it's nothing too serious there. While Scooter Magruder, that looks a bit more serious. He pulled a hammy. Doc thinks that he's going to be out a while. I don't know if it'll be a Shabazz Napier ruled doubtful for 10 games in a row a while, but I would say 3 to 4 weeks would be my guess here for Magruder. That gives a chance for Jerome Robinson, for Terrence Mann to step up into his 20-minute a night role. Hutchison, as I mentioned today, he hurt his shoulder. Otto Porter's already out. There's no small forwards. It's going to have to be Big Shaq and Archer Jackano stepping into those minutes, while Trevion Graham banged knees and did not return for the Timberwolves. That gives some hope for someone like Kata Bates-Diop in those deeper leagues, and especially if Jake Layman remains sidelined. But the Wolves don't play again until Sunday, I believe. That'll do it for me today. Massive show, 14 games on. I'll be back to preview Friday's games in my next show. I hope you guys all have a good Thanksgiving. Make sure you're still downloading and listening and watching the show, even if you just have it in the background. Get those numbers up. Give me a thumbs up. Follow me, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Subscribe, comments, all that good stuff, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Kyrie Irving.